Thank you, Ocean. That was great. Did you all enjoy that? Have you learned something new? So, let's have a little think now. We've been concentrating on our bodies, what they can do, how we can keep them fit and healthy so far this morning. So why is that important in the context of our daily lives as Christians and of our worship to God? So our bodies are important. We live in them. That's pretty important, isn't it? We use all of our senses to interact with the world around us. If we're tired or in pain, it affects the way we think and it can affect our decisions. So our bodies are quite key in all of that. I use my body to communicate, so I'm speaking words now and using gestures with my body to share ideas and information. We can encourage one another, we can sympathise or empathise with one another. We can share our faith and we share love with one another, and our bodies are key to all of that, either directly or indirectly through technology. So we are very clever at finding ways to help people communicate who find it difficult. So people whose bodies don't respond properly, we can enable them to move and communicate with others through the technology that we've devised. So I'd just like to ask some of the children to come up and share a little song with me that we were talking about earlier. Come up here. Tell you what, you stand on the stage and I'll stand down here. Okay, can you make yourselves a space there? Okay, now spread out a little bit. Somebody come to the front. Lovely, so that we can see. Lovely. Now we're going to do a song now for the little ones, really. And it's a song probably everybody knows, and I just invite you to join in if you know it. Are you ready, girls? Head, shoulders, knees and toes, knees and toes. Head, shoulders, knees and toes, and eyes and ears and mouth and nose. Head, shoulders, knees and toes, yoo-hoo! Yes, now that was great. Does that cover everything? Does that cover all of our bodies? What else have we got?
A neck. A carotid artery.
Oh!
bones.
Mm-hmm. A heart. A brain.
Anybody else like to add one in? Neil?
Toenail.
Eight.
Anybody else?
I'm just liking how brave you are. Everyone's quite nervous at this point, aren't they? I'm going to go for a good head of hair.
Lovely. We have another one joined us. That's great. Yeah, so all these things are part of our bodies. Now, what about the bits that we don't see so well? We've already had a carotid artery.
Our lungs.
Yep. Anything else?
Liver. Our soul.
Oh. The sole of my foot?
No. Well, both.
So we have another kind of soul. You've come to exactly the point I wanted to get to. That's brilliant. Would you like to just sit down on the edge of the stage for a minute? Because I'm going to have your help again later on. So what is our soul? So I've looked up in several dictionaries, and I've got several different kinds of answers, but generally the answer I got was it's the spiritual, immaterial part of us, regarded as immortal, moral or emotional nature, and sense of identity. Okay, and in our thinking, we often separate out the soul and our sense of identity from our bodies. But I want to introduce a different way of thinking this morning. And to do that, we have to look at some different languages, because languages are quite key to how we understand the world around us and how we can express what we see and what we think about. So I want to go back several hundred years before Christ was born, a long time ago. There were two cultures that grew up completely separate, but in a close proximity in one part of the world, and that was the ancient Hebrew culture, which we see quite a lot about in the Bible, and the Greek ancient Greek culture. Now, they were very, very different. Hebrews tended to look at things in terms of the wholeness, the concrete things. So we can see in Psalms, they talk about a tree planted by streams of living water. And these are all metaphors about the natural world to help us understand things and how God works in us. But the Greeks started to think about more abstract things. And they also divided things up and separated different kinds of knowledge. And we have the great philosophers, and we have our modern medicine that came out of their way of dividing it up. Hippocrates decided that medicine was a thing that he would think about. And lots of others, lots and lots of names that could come out. But our culture here in the West today is largely based on that, with a bit of the Hebrew culture mixed in. Because by the time of Alexander the Great, which was, I don't know, 500 years before Christ was born, probably, the cultures had started to mingle. So by the time Jesus came along, the cultures were mingling quite a lot. And in the Bible, we see some thoughts from the ancient Hebrew and some thoughts from the Greek culture. And we have a great mix of that in our culture today. So without getting too deep into this and sidetracked from where we're going, I want to look at one particular word that in the Hebrew is often translated as soul, especially in the Old Testament. And that word is nephesh. Okay? And it has a slightly different view of the soul. So it means more of the whole of the person than the unity of the body. So it's the flesh and the bones and the organs and the breath in the body as well. So the breath represented character in their mind, and God breathed his life into us at the beginning of Genesis, didn't he? And we were made in his image, and his breath filled us with his life. And the organs in the body, what do you think? I'm just asking you children again now. Which organ do we think about in terms of emotions in our body? Which part of our body?
Is it brain?
Partly the brain, but not quite what I'm looking for. When you think about emotions like love...
Your heart.
Yes, we think of the heart as being the seat of the emotions. But actually, the Hebrews thought of the kidneys as being the seat of your emotions. Kidneys? Doesn't really work for us, does it? The heart, they thought, was where you did your thinking. And that your thinking came from the heart. And there's another area of the body which we still use today. Have you ever said, I've got a gut feeling about this? Has everybody said that or thought that at some time or heard somebody else say it? The ancient Hebrews thought that the gut was the seat of intuition. And all of this is part of the nephesh and the personness of you, which we would translate often as soul in the Old Testament, but it means so much more than that. I've got a little demonstration that I want to try and use to see what we mean here about separating the soul from the body. We tend to do that in our thoughts, don't we? We think about our body on one level and the soul is sort of somewhere up here, a higher level. Right, I need somebody to hold a bowl for me. Right. Would you like to stand up on the platform there? Becky, would you help me with them? I've got a big jug of water here. It's quite heavy. I don't want you to put all of it in the bowl, but I want you to fill it up fairly well, about 2/3 full. All right. That's fine. Lovely. Do you want to put that back underneath so it doesn't spill? Right, if you stand a little bit behind, everybody over here can't see the bowl, can they? Right, come forward a wee bit. Let's pull this back. Okay. So if we think about a bowl of water is the body and everything that's in it, We were saying just now in the quiz, weren't we, that the body is made up of how much water? How much percentage was it? There's 70%? I was looking on the internet this morning because I was thinking about that as well. And it said slightly different to that, but it depends on, A, whether you're a man or a woman, or how old you are, because children have a higher percentage of water in their bodies. But that's beside the point. So if we were to add the soul, the personness of us into the body, I have some salt here. All right, so I want you to pop that into the water and give it a stir around for me, all of it. Let me come out of the way. Give it a good old stir around, mix it in. So we think about our souls being in our bodies and part of us. Get it all dissolved in. How's it doing? Just need it all to dissolve in so it's perfectly mixed in with the water. Are we nearly there? Yeah? Okay, that's lovely. Let me have the spoon out of the way. Right, now, can you hold that up so that everyone can see? Can you manage? There we go. Who can tell which bits are salt and which bits are water? Too heavy? All right. Can anybody see? You children, can you see? Is there some bits that are undissolved in the bottom? Well, just ignore those bits. That's where my analogy falls down. And like any analogy, it doesn't work perfectly. But just to try and demonstrate, this is the nefesh, the body and the soul, all one within us. Yeah? Okay, lovely. Thank you. That's great. Let's pop that here, because we're going to use that again in a minute. Do you want to sit down again, girls? That's lovely. What have I done with my notes? I've lost my notes. Oh, yeah. There we go. Okay. And then the other word is Rauch, which we translate as spirit. And that's the other bit we think about and talk about sometimes, isn't it? And sometimes as if it's something completely separate. But this word in Hebrew was used to describe activity or vitality. And it was sometimes also translated as wind or breath. So we're thinking about the active thing. So again, God breathed his life into us. And the Holy Spirit comes and is the vital active part of God in the world. And we have God's Spirit. When we become Christians, we have his Spirit within us as well. And it's a gift from God. So can we have the verse back up on the screen again? 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20. So let's come back to that now. Let's just think about it. I'm not going to read it this time. I'm going to paraphrase it, and this is my paraphrase. My body, your body, is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in me and you. We have received him from God. We are not our own. We were bought at a price. Therefore, let us honour God with our bodies. And from what we've just been doing and what I've just been telling you, honouring God with our bodies means with the whole of us. Everything about me that makes me me is enabled through the Spirit to honour God. So Jesus, when he came and he inhabited a body. And that was Jesus, not just the spirit of Jesus within the body, but the body as well. That was the whole of Jesus there, including the body. He promised that when he died, he would send us a comforter to be with us. So the active, vital part, the Holy Spirit, would come and be with us. And on Pentecost, we saw that happen for the first time. That the Spirit came down from heaven and tongues of fire were seen on the disciples, and they were enabled to go out and tell the world all about what he had done. So when we ourselves come to Jesus and we understand what he did for us, the sacrifice he made by dying for us, when we say yes to that and say thank you to that, and we say, I want to do things your way in future, then that's when the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us as well. And just to show that, if we can have the bowl of water again, girls. Now, this bit could get a bit messy. All right? So, Becky, if you get up on the stage as well. I have a brand new pot of green food colouring here because I didn't have any in the cupboard, so it's really full. All right, you hold the spoon and I'll do the bottle, because if it spills, I'll be in trouble with your parents because it'll be on your clothes and might not wash out, okay? So I'm going to add a little bit of green food colouring. So when the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, comes to us when we're Christians, it comes and inhabits our bodies. Let's just put a bit like that. Right, now you pop that into the water and stir it around. Okay, I think that's fine. Just pop the spoon into there. Lovely. There, can you hold that one up for people to see a little bit? Can you manage? Wow. Now that just adds a slightly different dimension, doesn't it? Lovely. So I hope you understand from that that our bodies and our souls, our spirits, are all one, and that the Spirit of God in us is one with us as well. And I hope that helps to understand, because it's a difficult concept, and I've been finding out a lot about that this week and looking into it. I am not a Greek or Hebrew expert at all. I've just been doing a bit of research. So if anybody here is, and I've said anything that's not quite right, I apologise. You can come and tell me about it afterwards. That's lovely. Okay. So it sort of adds a new dimension to our lives, and that I find so exciting, that we can have the presence of God in our lives with us every day in everything we do, totally in and mingled with it, and helping us to overcome things, helping us to be bold to talk to people about who he is, and just spreading his kingdom throughout the world. And that just makes me want to honour God with my body. And it makes me want to sing. And it makes me feel like, then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. So now let's just lift our voices in praise and worship to our Lord. It doesn't matter whether you can sing in key or slightly off like me. God just loves to hear your voices and hear your heart singing out to him in praise and worship for all that he's done and all that he means to us. And if there's somebody here today who doesn't know that, who hasn't got Jesus as a part of their lives and would like to know more, then please, please do speak to somebody before you leave today. Anybody here would be glad to talk to you. So I'm just going to hand over to Will now, and we're going to stand up and we're going to sing. And we're going to take the offerings during this as well, all right? So just be aware that the bag will be coming round. If you want to give, that's fine. If you are a visitor, you don't feel any pressure. You do not need to give into the work that we're doing here. Okay, Will, take it away.